to order. If we can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. Hagenbusch, if you could call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Present.
Mr. Knight?
Present.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Item 2, public participation. We didn't have anybody that signed up. Does anybody wish to speak? Mr. Romer? We know
is
that.
Is there anyone else who I would defer?
We know that you'll address us. You have 3 minutes. You know the.
What's his
I'm
name?
I'm Bill Romer.
Bill Romer from the Summit County
Road,
ESC.
Richfield, Ohio. I happen to serve on the Summit County Educational Services Center Board of Governors. I think we might have been involved in the superintendent search.
Yeah.
But one of the commitments I made is if I were elected that I would go to each school board across Summit County every year to make sure that I knew the issues that were facing the residents, the administrators, the board, so that I'm really aware of those types of things. And also to see if there's anything that we at Summit County ESC can do to be even more efficient. I think we've made some very significant strides. We've done a lot of things from both a curriculum development, professional development perspective. And I really feel very, very positive. Our superintendent, Joe Itano, I know, reaches out regularly across the county. I would be available after the meeting if anybody has any questions. I will also say the last meeting I was at here, because I promised to go every year, was my favorite meeting. I'm not just saying that, but it was an excellent meeting. It was well run. It was concise. There were issues discussed, but it was very well moderated. And there was food at the end because I think all the wrestlers were getting recognized. So it was a really good meeting. So thank you again, and I'll be here after the meeting if anyone has any questions.
Thank you. Did anybody else wish to speak? Thank you. Item 3, the field house construction update. And before we get into this discussion, I just want to make sure that our newly appointed superintendent, if you would like to say a few words to start the conversation, and then the board could start the conversation as well, or add to it, so that you've had some positive discussion. You sent an update to the board, and that was well received by myself. I called you and discussed that, so thank you and Jake for going over that. So if you just wanted to start maybe why we're getting ready to have this conversation.
Yeah, I guess, Jake and I met with Matt and Ryan a couple Fridays ago and had a great conversation about where we are, what we were looking at with cost, and I think some of the questions that we asked in terms of time and cost, Matt was honest and frank with us, and Ryan was as well. Just an update for me personally on what was the starting date that was out there, how the entire process started, because I came into this and, obviously we're already building. So part of it was informative for me. For initial plans and designs and discussions with you and moving ahead on the project. So we met maybe for an hour and a half and just talked about some of those items. And I thought it was a good discussion. And since then, we asked Matt that day to come and update you guys on some of our discussions. I started to put some thoughts together, but in knowing that Matt was coming, I just felt it was better that he explained the process with you, and I know I learned quite a bit. We've talked about the ordinances, a little bit with this project, and so I know I was educated on how that process works. So, Jake, do you want to add anything to that conversation?
No, I think just to add to what Dana said, all of our interactions with CT Taylor have been, in my opinion, very positive. I mean, they brought us bad news from time to time, and I think I don't see it as where I've in the last district I worked in, I kind of fought with contractors because the things they were doing were sneaky, and I think they've been honest throughout the process here, so I feel comfortable in that situation.
So we had two primary questions, and that was the AC and the insulation. So
yeah, appreciate those guys kind of talking about that first, and I'll
just kind of tell you that kind of some of the stuff we talked about. Feel free to jump in with any questions, but like I told you, kind of accumulated back and forth is probably the best format there. We have had some price increases, some budget increase over the price. One of the main issues was to the tune of about $80,000 was code review issues. They changed the building code as of January 1st, 2017, which required a greater R value in the exterior building walls and the R value of the insulation and ceiling. Good news, bad news with that. Bad news is it cost some extra money. We had to change the masonry system we'd intended to use. We had to increase some insulation thicknesses in both the ceilings and the wall. That's the bad news. The good news is we increased some insulation values in the walls and the ceilings, which life cycle costs should help defer some of those costs, but unfortunately there's a greater expense of money now that will pay itself back a little bit over time. So that's first issue. Second thing is, there's some, so we're about $140,000 total right now, over budget. $80,000 of that was the other. The other was that the building actually increased in size a little bit from our original proposal. We squeezed in some storage rooms. All good things added value to the building, so we squeezed in some storage rooms, added some tech closets. And with square footage goes dollars per square foot. So we added about 400 square feet to the building. And quite frankly, some of our contractor, and when I stood up here and I sold you guys on taking some of your savings from all from the new high school and doing this, you know, it was on, hey, let's get going, let's get the contractors that are there working, let's get them on board, and let's save money while they're there. Unfortunately, that didn't work for us. We didn't get a building permit on this thing until June 22nd, I believe. So we had actually hoped to break ground last fall, work while the guys were still there, just make a seamless transition right from the new high school building right into the field house. Well, unfortunately, we didn't. So with that, we saw some price creep from some of the subcontractors. Not significant, but a little here and a little there. So we tried to manage it as best we could. But, you know, we've taken some steps. The number was a much bigger number originally. We took a step when we talked with Jake. By the end of the year, as of December 31st, if we didn't order the building, which is the big metal red iron stuff that's sitting there, it was going to cost us about another $20,000. So we were proactive and we got it ordered before the first of the year. Now that also meant that we had to take it. You guys all saw it. We set it in the parking lot out there. But we did that at our expense. We didn't. There was no additional fees in here to move that from there back over to the other site. So again, we met with all the contractors. We got bids from. We changed some light fixtures. Still getting great lights, but we were able to go to a different manufacturer. It saved us about another $30,000. So those are all great things, but unfortunately there was a price uptick on some of the other stuff that we just unfortunately couldn't foresee, or we couldn't put it in. Air conditioning. There's confusion maybe exists right there. I felt, at least from my standpoint, that I thought we talked about it. Again, I get a lot of different conversations about field house. I don't know if we have them here, I don't know if we have them outside, but you know, my whole concept that I built this thing on was the model that exists in Oroville. I think I talked to you guys in my original proposal I put out for pictures of Oroville. Oroville doesn't have air conditioning in their field house. They do it through a gravity ventilator, which helps circulate the air, which doesn't make it feel like air conditioning, but it doesn't make it feel like a sweat box either. I don't know if I can, I'm just trying to put that in simple terms for you. So as of the 140 that we're over right now does not include an air conditioning price at this point. Air conditioning is about another 60 to 70 above and beyond that. So as it stands right now, we do not have air conditioning included, but we, and if that is a decision or a route that we want to go to something, we certainly know pretty quickly.
I know one question that I asked you in that meeting that I'm sure the board would like to hear is, when you have an ordinance change, you know, sometimes in education we'll see things from Columbus that just occur, but what about the January 1st deadline? You know, we're not in this business, and our thought was, you know, are companies aware of those, that if we don't get things done by a certain deadline, then it's going to cost more money? Has that occurred, and do you contact the schools and let them know?
Yeah, Yes and no, I guess, answer that. I'll talk a little bit about that. Again, when we originally started talking about it, I came to the board meeting in August of last year. We talked originally about doing this, and we came back and we kind of tabled it until October. Wasn't a thought in my mind, to be quite honest with you, at one time. We became aware of that uptick in December when it was ready to go ahead and release the order for the building that I talked about that we had to release by December 31st. So they said, listen, there's an insulation code that's going to take effect January 1st that you were not grandfathered in. We didn't have a building permit. We didn't get it by the end of the year, so we were, unfortunately, our hands were tied with that. I've heard, and again, the question is, well, why didn't I know? That's not really a bailiwick that we as the builder, I mean, I don't know the building code through and through. I know a lot of it. I know bits and pieces of it, and I know how things generally fit together in there. But specifics like that, unless I've heard it in another meeting or another district or another situation similar to that, I wouldn't have that level of expertise in the building code. That's the design professional
there. The architect.
That's more of that. And then kind of that was, again, originally I had come here and sat and talked to you guys. I had proposed, hey, I'm going to have MKC work for me. Matt Sagone, your legal rep, didn't like that idea and said, no, we want to keep you guys as two separate entities. I can't sit here and tell you for sure, had I kept him, that would have got caught or that maybe might not have been an issue. There was a chance, though, at least, that it may have come up in a conversation prior to. And that's quite frankly, is that June, like I said, building permit, June 22nd is when we finally got building permit. That's kind of why the late, I guess, information on pricing has come, because we couldn't really finalize until we saw a final set of documents as to exactly what this thing looked like. Because I didn't want to come to you and say, oh, okay, it's $1.8 million, $1.7 million. I wanted to have to the penny, you know, what things cost. And we have a sheet here showing you kind of by trade as to what I'll pass out to you guys when I'm done. Of what every little thing, what I originally anticipated, some things went up, some things went down. We were able to save, again, some money, for instance, the dirt work. We had originally budgeted $87,000. We were able to buy it for $80,000. But HVAC and plumbing on base bid went up a little bit too, so those things evened out, kind of in the grand scheme of things. So, and I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you. I'm sure you're going to have some questions, and I guess with that, I'll just stop talking and answer questions.
The building have this system like Orville, what did you call it, a gravity, circulating the air, whatever. Do we have anything like that?
We have an air rotation system. Okay. Same principle. It's going to exhaust the hot air out, but
so
it
we
will
have
not
that.
Be conditioned. Right now, yes. Okay. You have a ventilation system defined in this project.
Okay.
What you don't have currently is air conditioning.
Okay.
So Ryan Fink, who works with me, to work together. So I don't know if everybody remembers Ryan or not.
He was at our the beginning meetings.
Now, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. One thing that came out of our Friday meeting a couple Fridays ago was when you look at the sheet, about 40,000 of the 140 that were over is really contingency. So that's the oops, what, you know.
We carried in our original price a contingency for little things. So we've got $46,000 still set aside that we haven't spent yet. But little things are popping up, and I don't know how much we will spend or won't spend of that, but that's 46. So really, if you take that out, you're 100 over. So depending on how you want to look at it, but if we take that out and say, okay, we're sitting at 100, any little change that happens, I'm going to be back here sitting saying, you know, hey, we have to do this or we have to do that, some things, you know, some little changes. So again, that was my way of saying, hey, my estimate may not be perfect, because if you guys remember, it was an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper that was the whole concept. So we were going on a little bit of history, timing, the way things were at. It was what I felt was my best guess at that point in time. And unfortunately, some things happened after the fact, and that's why I'm here.
Matt, the $60,000 for the increase in the building size, you said some things were added. Where did that come from?
We squeezed in some storage closets was a request that, hey, we've got a building out there, you know, we're going to volleyballs, we're going to basketballs, and we don't have anywhere to put them in that building. We had, so in order to accommodate that, we had to kind of take the building a foot or two bigger. So it all equaled 400 square feet when we did that. So there was some attack room up top. Just some general things like that.
We added a sewage pump, force main instead of gravity feed sewer. So there had to be basically a room to handle that, a small mechanical room that was developed and added. All part that really wasn't originally intended to be part of this project, but it is included. We had to do it based on the civil engineer's requirements there.
So is that the majority of that $60,000, or that's just a small part of that?
That's a small piece. The building square footage itself, the building is roughly $106 a square foot. So we added 400 square feet. So that 400 square feet doesn't sound like a lot, but 400 square feet at $106 is $43,000, $44,000. So that's a piece of it. You took a sewage pump, and it's probably about an eight, or I don't know what the exact figure is, but little things. You know, you added two storage closets, you added a tech room, you had a door room. Well, every time you put a door in a building, it's about $1,500. So little things like that contributed.
Who added it?
That's the question.
Yeah, you said somebody added it.
Who added it? Who approved that?
We had a meeting with, I'm trying to think who was all there, Mr. Shaner, Mr. Schimmick, Jake, myself, and Ryan, MKC. It was just some things that they felt had to be in the building.
Okay.
The sewage ejector pump is something they couldn't have predicted, and nobody did. They had to get the engineers on site and that whole process to basically, they weren't comfortable with the amount of gravity. You know, it was going to be not quite enough fall for the future of that system. We didn't want to be fighting that there wasn't an. It was right on the edge, and they said, the engineer basically said, you really need to put a sewage ejector. So, I mean, that's where some of that added.
We understand the engineer's part. Who added the rest?
I don't know that.
Another example. There was a foundation change. It was about $12,000, which the metal building manufacturer provides you with a foundation design. Okay, it works. It's got a hairpin. It's a column base, basically, with rebar that are reinforced for that. The structural engineer, although he thought it would work, didn't feel comfortable that it would work. So he designed grade beams in there instead. The grade beams added quite a bit of footage.
So that was a safety change.
Structural change that he just felt safer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's an understandable change.
I'm not going to put my stamp on it that way, even though they tell you it'll work. I feel more comfortable because I'm stamping it that we're going to do this. My hands were a little bit tied there. Obviously, sure. Unfortunately, we had to do it.
These meetings with MKC, do they still come to the meetings? Is there any, these construction meetings or anything, are they still a part of anything?
Yeah, they're on site every 2 weeks.
So they didn't think to talk about this? When was it brought up about prior to, about the insulation R value factor?
We brought it up the day we saw their first set of drawings.
I get you did.
No, they never brought it up to us.
Okay.
We saw a set of drawings, and they had this
continuously insulated concrete masonry unit.
It's called a sigma in our term. We'd never seen it before. It's a block with built-in layer of insulation and then another face of block. We looked at it going, what is this? That's when we became aware of that code change. And we took that change, and then I'm sure you guys are aware, we were actually able to take those dollars and reduce them by going back to brick. So it looked like the other buildings.
So what's the total cost then of this R value change? This, what do you think the piece of this?
That R value change is roughly about $85,000.
So $85,000. To me, that's the piece of this that I'm concerned about, because if we're having construction meetings. And it's our job to work with a company that we hired, that we pay. Who's managing that company? Whose responsibility is that? Who's sitting in the meetings?
I sit in every meeting. For me to pick out, I look at the drawings for conceptual things. I mean, I'm not going to look at a set of drawings, which is why by the FMKC and we hire a construction manager and be able to tell that there's an insulation code change.
Sure.
So really how the process happened is by the time we made the decision we were doing this, MKC starts making the drawings. C.T. Taylor gets a complete set of drawings to say this is what we're going to build. And it was about December they went, whoa, this is different than what we expected. And really for the last 4 or 5 months, in credit to them and Ryan quite a bit, he's been looking at every single possible alternative to reduce the cost. And I mean, initially he was trying his best to not do it and we would just go with the original plan, and that couldn't happen. So we really sat down and he went out and I know he talked to a bunch of different contractors and trying to see who, and because this is a new enough code, some of the contractors with this continuously insulated, you know, basically it's an 8-inch block with another 4-inch block that's continuously insulated. It's a brand new product and nobody wanted to touch it. So they bid it really, really high. And basically at the end of the day, after a lot of discussions with MKC, C.T. Taylor, and myself, we basically said that, you know, if we're going to have to incur this cost, why don't we just make it look like the other buildings on campus, which is the high school. And then at one point, an update, I did send that out. We did like a new rendering and say, we're going this direction because of an insulation code change. But even then, they didn't necessarily want to give numbers out because we were hoping that other parts of the project could save us enough money to cover it. And it just didn't quite happen. We did save some in some areas, but at the end of the day, when they brought the final numbers, that's about where we are right now.
But what are we supposed to tell the public, or what are we supposed to? We're trying to cut costs in every way we can. This board, I think, has done a really good job. I know they have, sitting in meeting after meeting, trying to work with. And it's interesting, is because, not that they're sitting in the room, but they're the only ones that I see that come to meetings and have been coming to meetings. So it's nice. I know MKC has come to the, you know, two or three, but to see this through this project. $85,000 is a lot of money to us. So I know that you're saying that we might save that through energy costs, and that was what you're saying down the road. What do we say now? Are they going to work with us in any way? Since to me it sounds like you're not pointing blame necessarily, but you're pointing out something that they should have knowledge of in a building trade, that they should have an understanding of. Is that what?
They would know the code much better than I do.
Yeah. But we need to figure this out.
I think I need to meet with them.
Yeah. Sounds like the right thing to do, because we can't incur all of this cost, and I don't want to incur all of this cost on behalf of the district if we're not the experts in the building trade, but we're the experts in making sure that our community gets the right facility structure and safety for all of our students and administrative staff and our teachers. And anybody that visits our facility, they should have the right accommodations. And this board was to the understanding that we were saving money on a building project and that we were going to get this building on the savings that we had. That was our understanding. So that's what we need to take a hard look at.
There's still a lot of truth in that statement, though. We're still getting a heck of a good value there.
And we are. And that's what this board pointed out.
Tooting my horn.
Exactly. And that's what this board pointed out. And that's what we want. So to come in at a... Cindy said we're not going to have this air conditioning. We don't understand it. We thought that's what we were getting. So we need to take a hard look. So thank you, Dana, for meeting with them. And that's probably maybe the next step, then meeting with the architect.
Real quick, Matt, so just to get this straight in my mind, you guys couldn't pull the permit before the 31st, so you had the blueprints. Is that correct? Is that how it worked? Okay.
So they have to prove what they're giving you.
So basically, if you would have had the prints, you could have pulled it in December. If you would have had the prints, that's what it took.
Yeah, there's a possibility you've been grandfathered in.
Okay.
Like, again, you can't guarantee it because every community and every building department looks at things different.
Matt, there was a number. I want to say it was around $50,000 or $60,000 that we would have saved because you were already on the property. Did we not get any of that?
Well, interesting question. So, probably not. But you are, so my original proposal with you guys also was zero staff from CTD. There's not $1 in any of these for anything for my personnel, for our personnel. So again, it is, we're eating that because hey, we told you here's what we can build for. We tried to do our darndest to do that.
So 30,000.
We're absorbing and losing every hour I have a guy there supervising the whole project. It costs me money. And I say me as in CTD,
right.
Not me as in.
And you say what? And you said maybe a $30,000 savings at some.
Yeah, again, if I remember right, and again, we talked one point because it was what happens if we do this now? There was a question asked. We originally talked. What happens if we wait till after the election and we don't save that? And I said, listen, I think that there could be a 5 to 10% increase if you don't do it with the building. I think was what, if I remember right, what I said. Again, I don't have notes to that effect, but you know, 5 or 10% is. Anywhere from
can add up
$75,000 to $150,000. So I don't know what happened. I mean, because people don't say, hey, my bid on this date was X and now it's Y. Because I can only get numbers from them when we had the drawings. So I don't know what, for instance, if we have a train air handling, you know, big air unit. I don't know what the material price from the manufacturer was in October or November versus what it was in May or June. But I just like anything, I'm sure it's more.
Right.
And if you went to buy a car in August, it was going to be cheaper than if you buy a car in June of 17. Mm-hmm. I'm sure those kind of changes are, and those kind of ads are in here too. I just cannot quantify them specifically at that level.
And one of the things we discussed in a collaborative project, you have three, you know, institutions working on this. If there are delays in any three of those, it costs money. And that's something that occurred here, whether it was decision-making or some of the things that you've mentioned tonight. Ultimately, just like you mentioned, the longer it goes, the more likely you're going to spend a little bit more money.
And again, I'm not here to, and I don't want the perception that I'm throwing MKC in the bus, right? Because I'm not. Because I'm sure that, you know, we talked a lot of times as a group, are we going to build it with vocational space? Are we going to build it without vocational space, with a shell, with no shell? So that took some time to work through that. There were quite a few renderings and stuff done. Okay, what would this be to get us moving? So that kind of took us, again, August sometime last year, we originally started talking about this thing. So we're darn near a year. And then, you know, again, great conversations about what should ultimately be built. But again, that took some time. And then was MKC. Again, I don't know if it was them, I don't know if it was the building department, I don't know if it was the approvals through like the Summit Soil and Water. If everything rolls into a snowball, basically.
But we tried to meet your deadlines, like you said, because you wanted to clear the property, and so right. We had those meetings, and we didn't want to delay you, but we also wanted to make sure we met those finance goals.
We ran into some issues with the well guy.
Yeah.
And you guys had to go actually find us.
And we had a special meeting and got that done.
Yeah.
So we did everything on our part to make sure that we accommodated.
And again, that wasn't my point either, that you guys weren't accommodating. It's just things happened. Again, the well took some time to get moved. We didn't get clearing until this spring, basically, to get it going.
Yeah.
So again, those things all kind of. Again, I'd love to have a great answer here. There was a lot of contributing factors. It's not what I like to do business, but it's an unfortunate part. It's the reality of where things are at.
I have a question about the air. If we were building it with this air rotation system, who brought up bringing in air conditioning? Is that like $60,000 or $70,000 more?
We talked about it. That was my proposal, but some of the other buildings like this that we've seen built have been built, they've fitted us an alternate, which is basically what we did. We said, okay, give us a price, tell us how much the air conditioning of that was. So that's how we got to the numbers that we got to say, listen, I'm sure the question is, well, you're building a brand new building, would you buy a new house without air conditioning, or would you buy a new car? Again, it's a legitimate question, but it's certainly an option. And again, when I sat here in front of you guys, I was trying to be as cost effective for the possibility of getting this thing built.
Well, I'm wondering, where's the air? If the air rotation system's fine, then who brought up, hey, let's put in air? Or is that you just saying, hey, if you want air, this is how much more it is? I'm just wondering, where's this coming from?
Air conditioning is a better option. It is.
Okay.
Because you have a controlled environment 100% of the time. Air circulation, you're at the mercy of the environment a little bit more so than you are with air conditioning. You set the air conditioning, the doors are shut, you said it at 72, or that's what it's going to be. This is going to exhaust hot air and bring in fresh air, but you still are, you're still a little bit tied to the actual environment outside.
How's that work for Oroville? Are they happy with that, or do you know at all? I mean, I do.
Actually, I took Dave Dunn out there with me. We looked at it together when we started on this process. Actually, the pictures that were in my original proposal, I took the day Dave and I were out there together. John Ritchie, the superintendent out there, has no issues. I mean, it's no different than our middle school or our elementary school. There's no air conditioning. But this
there's no air rotation either.
There is. There's a big fan up there.
Yeah, I know.
All the
we, yeah, we all know that fan.
Again, I went through 19 years of school in North and never had air conditioning one day in my life. But again, I know you're building new buildings. You have a new building that has air conditioning. You've added some of the air conditioning and some other little spaces in there. It's a better option.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, do you want to spend the money on the option? That's why we presented.
Well, okay, put yourself in our place. We hear, oh, it's going to be 70 more for the air conditioning, which I kind of just assumed it was in there. And then it's going to be 140 more. You know, I think communication is the problem here because we didn't know. I didn't know until you just said it. We have, over 40,000 in contingency, which obviously could leave. Or could, Yeah, so all we heard was 140 more and 70 more, which adds up to 210.
Those are round figures. It's
yeah, right. But you can see where we're coming from. It's like, you got to be kidding me, so.
I understand it, and I'll take the blame on them for not being a little more clear about the air conditioning. I feel like I talked about it in the board meeting here when I originally talked about this.
I think it just kind of got...
It may have just got kind of in the whole scheme. I don't...
Yes, it just went by the wayside, but I just didn't know where it's coming from now. Like, is it now it's time to make a decision if you want it or not? Or...
It is.
But I'm saying, is that why we got that communication? Hey, it's 70 grand more. But it just didn't... It didn't come across that way to me. It came across, it almost came across, 70,000 more for air conditioning, but I didn't know that we had another system that, was kind of planned in there.
Yeah, definitely have a system.
But if you take that system, like what Cindy just talked about, if you take that system out, and then you take the air conditioning system, is there a cost savings if you remove that system and add the air?
No, because basically what you're adding is a condenser and stuff to this system.
And ductwork
for it. So it's like your house, if you took your condenser outside, that little fan unit sits outside, your house works great because you have ductwork for everything, it serves both purposes. But with the air conditioning, you need to funnel it a little more to get it to the appropriate areas, and then you need to add that condenser and then the controls that tie it all together.
But without air conditioning out there, is that going to hurt us to have any sort of venue or anything out there? You know what I'm saying? If there's anybody who wants to come here,
I doubt that, and I've talked to some people about that, how much things we're going to host. I don't know how much time we're going to have things to host, because our facilities are full now. I anticipate that just continuing, because we're losing Cornerstone's gym, which is a gym that gets used quite a bit. So, the amount of outside venues, we might have a few AAU things in the summer, because we've got now two full-size gyms on the same campus, but I don't know how many we might be able to handle because I think everybody's going to want to use them.
And if I could speak to that a little too, obviously I've coached a lot of basketball games in gyms that either had air conditioning and had it turned off or didn't have any at all. In a lot of schools, a lot of gyms over summertime. So is it unusual? Again, until they started building schools through the OFCC 15 years ago, it was almost unheard of for a school to be air conditioned. So again, I'm not saying don't do air conditioning.
What would your recommendation be? Sorry. Do you have a recommendation? Like an official recommendation? If you're building, if you're us and you're moving forward in a progressive way.
I think I would put air conditioning in if I had the money to do it.
Okay.
Is what I would professionally
like. In the grand scheme of things, though, I look at it as our use for our kids, the majority is more of a winter sport. Your spring sports are outside. Your fall sports are typically outside. So it has heat. So the sports that are going to use it the most are going to have heat. I don't know that the money for air conditioning is worth it, really. Yes, there's events in the summer, and we want it to be utilized in the summer, but I think if you have airflow, we've never had it. That's my personal opinion. I think it gets the most use from our programs in a heated environment where we need heat as opposed to air conditioning. Just my personal opinion.
Aren't we moving phys ed out there? Weren't they talking about?
Yeah, but you have a little bit in the fall. In the spring, it's still, we're not getting, unfortunately, we live in Ohio. We're not getting 90.
Phys ed classes are outside.
Right, and they've been in a gym with no AC.
Most of the students do sports anyway.
Yeah. The only thing I would tell you about air conditioning, not or do, is, again, I know it's a hard pull to swallow, it's $68,000 or $70,000 right now, but to retrofit the system later could be upwards of $150,000, and you don't do it now. Again, that's not pressure.
How much would it increase our cost to have air conditioning in a field house? Will we be running that thing all summer long? Or are we going to turn it on when there's an event? We have to look at the cost to run it, too.
We have to determine that because, for example, in high school, we don't necessarily run the air conditioning in high school. It's set at a pretty high level. It does dehumidification. So it's not consistently running all summer long in the high school.
Is it running in the gym?
The gym has a different set of settings because of the wood floor.
I was just going to ask that.
Definitely flooring. Got far more dehumidification going on, and it genuinely stays cooler because of the wood floor. Because those will curl and things like that in the summer, and you've got the system to stop that from happening. But the rest of the building, and it really isn't even running much.
But can I ask, is there windows or air movement through the weight room? So there's nothing in the weight room.
There's two doors. There's two sets of doors. So you may have propped open doors.
Well, that's what we do here, but we have windows.
There's a garage door. There's a garage door on one side, and then two sets of double doors.
Oh, that's a good air movement.
Well, do we want to wait until Mr. Addis has a meeting with the architect and try to get an answer, maybe revisit?
We don't have a choice on 140. That has to be
What's
done.
What's your time frame on the air, Matt?
Every passing day is hindering construction. We're getting to a point where we need to know how we're going to rough in, whether it's for this air rotation unit or the AC unit. Part of that slab's already poured. Precast here in the upcoming weeks. So the decision sooner than later will be very helpful. We will come to a point in the near future where work really can't progress.
Well, our next scheduled meeting is August 14th. That's 2 weeks. Is that too long?
No, I think we can accommodate August 14th. Good night.
Do you think you can have that?
Everybody okay with that on the board?
We can make accommodations.
Again, we're not going to pressure you into making a decision. No. You need to think about it. You need to make what you think is the right decision.
No, but I'm saying.
So,
give Mr. Addis a good amount of time to have an informed conversation.
A big building like that, Matt, because it's open. Do you have any idea from district, efficiency as far as running the exhaust system versus an air conditioner? To me, it would seem like a lot more expensive to have AC running as opposed to the exhaust system.
To answer your first question, no, I don't have that level of knowledge of operating costs of one system versus the other. It's big space.
Yeah, it is.
Moving air the exhaust air rotation system is a little bigger because it's a big volume space, as would be the air conditioning.
So there's two separate units for this field house proposed, air conditioning wise, because of the space.
So there's more to go wrong. Condensers and everything else.
Well, the other thing too, it's usually really hot August and September in October, you know, so I don't think, you know, if our kids are in there or whatever, they would get use out of it because it's still pretty hot. I don't know, but I don't know, since they're building school, I don't know, just something to think about too.
And if you have specific questions relative to the air conditioner, that you can get them to me. You guys have all had my email out before, so still do. Give them to Jake, give them to me, and if I can answer them, I'll get them answered for you.
Thanks for coming.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Anything further on that? Item 4 with the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Thank you. Item 5, under board business, can I have a motion to approve attachment A?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? This will be for the levy at a 2.9, I believe. Did you bring that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to discuss that? We just wanted to give just the cost.
Well, I brought, if the newspapers are interested or anybody else in the room, we have a list here on what it will, the levy will cost a homeowner from $100,000 up to $325,000 homes, which certainly covers the values in Norton. If you want to see what those costs are, $100,000 home would be $101 a year or $846 a month. A $325,000 home would go up to $2749 a month. So I have those available.
Thank you for sharing that. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion carries. Under Treasurer's recommendations, can I have a motion to approve attachment B and C?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Motion carries. Under personnel, under the first one, item A, can I have a motion to approve items A, 1, and 2?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes. Motion carries. Under personnel, can I have a motion to approve item under B, item would be attachments D, E, F, and G?
Second.
Any discussion?
Can I introduce a couple of
the teachers? Yep, thank you.
So we have two new school psychologists who now know more about building construction than they have to learn in their lives. So, we feel so blessed in the summer for the people that have demonstrated an interest in our school system. And Heather and Jeanette are two school psychologists who are coming to us from different districts, which tells me a lot that they looked our way. And are interested in coming here and helping our kids. School psychologists across the state of Ohio and across our country are more important than ever before to a school system. The school is relied upon to take care of a number of social emotional needs for students, and we welcome that because we're all about kids and we want to help them desperately. So I'm going to have them tell a little bit about themselves, but I just want to thank them for being here and thank them for entertaining the thought of coming to Norton, and I'm glad that it's worked out. So Jeanette, would you like to start?
Thank you. I'm Jeanette Meisel. I will be working at the middle and high school, and I most recently served 10 years in the Jackson Local Schools in Stark County, and have been a 10-year resident of Wadsworth. So I'm excited to be here at Norton and serve my local community.
Thanks. My name's Heather Zeman. I have gone to school and worked in the field of school psychology since 98. I've worked in urban, rural, and suburban districts, so I've had a broad range of experiences. I was very excited to interview with the team, Mr. Addis, Ms. Oliveri, Ms. Minnie, thank you, and also Mr. Morris. So I
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion?
Well, we have two other teachers on the list, and we just feel great about all four of them. We have all talked as an administrative team about people that are joining our team. And I'm not just saying it. Sometimes you can struggle finding people at particular times in the year. And we feel like we've had some, we feel blessed that we've had some people come and show up at our interviews. And this is a shining example. And the other two are quality educators as well. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming. Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Congratulations.
Again, under personnel, can I have a motion to approve certified, under certified, C and D?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries. Again, under personnel, can I have a motion to approve the substitute supplementals, items E through G?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion carries. Under consent agenda items, can I have a motion to approve the following consent agenda item, attachment I?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Motion carries. Under item 8, superintendent's reports.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say thanks to the administrative team and central office. Everyone has been beyond welcoming and answering questions and professional. I feel like we're getting a lot done and we're off to a good start, but we're enjoying the process as well. And then just two other small items. I sent a survey out to every single employee just to get some engagement thoughts about how they feel. And I'm getting close to about 150 responses, which is a good number. I'd love for all, you know, everyone to answer, but that's a little bit of a pipe dream. So that's one thing that's gone really well. And I've also asked anyone who wanted to come in and meet just to shake hands and, you know, start getting to know some names. And so probably had maybe 20, 25 teachers come in this week for really quick 15-minute meetings just to get our year off to a good start. And it's been consistent. People love to teach school here. They love our kids. They love to live here. And they've just displayed nothing but a positive professional energy. So it gets me excited. And it makes my day fly by. I mean, I have a lot of people coming and going in the office right now. We had a really busy day today, but it was good. So I just want to thank the teachers and my team. They're fantastic.
We are looking at moving ahead with Martin United. You know that in the previous couple of years we've done the human trafficking piece. Last year we kind of went head on into the opiate addiction. So this year we are going on a larger scale yet, and we are going to look at what's called Feed My Starving Children. So we will be working with Martin United, the community, and local members and whatnot. And this is what came to one of our meetings. So we met again this morning, myself and Chief D'Alessandro, and Brian Brown with Elizabeth down there. She interviewed us for the Post, so we'll have an article come out the Post on Saturday talking about it, promoting it. We're gonna have a huge packing event here at the high school on the 9th of September, and it will be 2-hour shifts, and the goal is to pack, you know, close to 220-some thousand meals. So we've kind of done a conjunction piece where the motto is a here, now, or here, there, and everywhere. Here, what we are doing to help the Norton families. So through the course of the school year, the past few years, we've been doing blessings in bags and backpacks. And, you know, the local churches have been supporting us with, you know, giving out food and things to those who need them. You know, some families have called, requested help. Others we've reached out to, you know, very confidential. Their piece is the food banks. So we will be looking at doing some canned food drives for the food banks. I know that the police department just did their opiate this past past weekend. It was this past weekend. Unfortunately, the weather was not real cooperative, but Chief said this morning that they collected over 1,300 pounds of food that were donated to the Haven of Rest. They came out and took them, and it's looking at local food banks. That's the bear piece, and then the everywhere piece is what we can do to help starving children everywhere. So it's kind of like a three-year commitment. We're going head first into it, so it's going to be exciting. And, you know, we're going to be at the new high school. We're going to be using the commons area as well as the gym and kind of have a dual packing event. So we'll be asking for volunteers, community members. You know, we have our ambassador program, our service clubs. Everybody will be able to participate. We're going to talk about it on Convocation Day, you know, kind of put it out there for everybody to be aware of it. So it's going to be a challenge, but we're up for it.
I guess to dovetail off that, we'll be having something on the district webpage, so we'll have some information there about Norton United and what that is and how we're all working together, and some links and things we've done in the past, and then also to sign up for the Feed My Starving Children. We've been doing some other things on the webpage, as you know, updating with the buildings. We've been out just plowing through, trying to connect everything, all the equipment, making sure the teachers have what they need for instruction. A lot of them for orientation and open house. I like to have those things up and running in the classroom. So kids and I are still working towards that, and John as well. We've been updating the email list. You may have seen my email that we sent out, getting all the staff members at Grill, Cornerstone, and even primary, moving them all around to the correct buildings that they need to be on for the email list. It affects printers, affects many things that they do. Working on creating new staff accounts for the new hires and people that have moved on, cleaning all of those things up. And now we are starting grade book prep. So getting all the right teachers and students in the buildings and having report cards and grade books all set up with the right subjects and all of that, getting that ready. And today we started really assisting staff with printing the new copiers. So lots going on, lots. But
we needed a lot of assistance.
Well. We're all over, so it's good.
I don't think Pam liked the new printers today.
Nobody liked the new printers today.
The payroll today, I called in today, and she was...
It was
I think she was struggling through that.
We came in this morning to... half of the electric in the building didn't work. We had no air on our side of the building, and the printers wouldn't work. So it was a little...
A
it was a little stressful when we walked in this morning.
We might have bumped into each other a few times today.
But it ended much better.
We were there
to help her out.
Yeah,
got everybody up and running.
She was trying to answer the phone and doing everything at once.
Yeah, it was all of a sudden everything hit.
I would like to point out, I don't know if you guys, Matt Wyden on the personnel, his resignation. Matt's one of those guys that was a head mechanic here for a long time and was just fine being in the shadows. But he did a great job down there. The reason our ancient buses are still running is very much due to Matt Wyatt and what he did in that department. Luckily, we believe we have a succession of people that can keep that going. But congratulations to Matt. He moved on to another district to actually be a transportation supervisor. So we're sad to lose him, but happy for him to advance. Just to reiterate that I'm both ready for summer to be over, not because I didn't like summer, because that means we've got all our stuff done. Everybody in the district has done a great job. Our maintenance crew, our custodial staff, take a walk around this building. Mr. Addis and I walked the four buildings we're keeping last Friday, and every time I walk through, I'm really encouraged at how much we've got done and how good everything looks. And if you haven't had an opportunity to drive down to the new playground at the elementary, I think it turned out well. Bob Moorhead from the Post was down, so we took a couple pictures of that today in the new office, so that'll be the Post, I think, this weekend, hopefully. But we've accomplished a lot. As I said, I'm ready for September.
I think sometimes you forget about, we don't forget about custodians and maintenance, but we're doing something really unique here in this transition to educational places, four new places for a full year, and we're going to get there. In some way, even if it's a thank you to all of these people who have worked so hard they can't go unnoticed because the buildings are coming around. Kids will be there and they'll be clean and ready to go. It's a lot. It's been a really busy summer. They've done a great job.
Mrs. Hagenbusch?
Well, welcome to our new employees. It's always exciting to see that. I was going to mention Norton Elementary. To get away from all of our hectic things, we all took a little road trip down there today just to see what it looked like, or up there, I guess it's north, not south. It's phenomenal. Not quite finished, but it looks great. Matt, your guys are doing a great job. It's coming along. It's amazing that there used to be locker rooms and dirty, cruddy bathrooms there that's now going to be a nice office. It's great. And, you know, last month I mentioned how great our custodians have done, and we walked around the maintenance men, and I was very remiss. I never mentioned Keith Fetzer, and he has by far led this thing. Jake, I think you've mentioned it a couple times. He is here constantly. I don't think he's ever not here. He's doing everything. He's coming in at 5 o'clock in the morning to not have to work in the heat because we don't have air everywhere. And he really has. He has just done everything. He was up there this morning fixing the air when we didn't have air and everything else. He's done a phenomenal job, and I feel so bad because I missed him last month, and he really is leading all of this, and without him, we could have never done that. The playground is awesome down there. I really wanted to go try those swings. They just looked...
Turned out. I'm not a playground engineer.
But it looks...
We got the right people in. We have two pieces of equipment from Cornerstone and two from Grill. So, I mean, it was kind of the only ones that were ADA, so we didn't have a choice. But, so we have at least a little historic value there.
And it looks very inviting. It really does.
I didn't necessarily want to go swing.
It does. It just makes you want to go swing. And then you're talking about the Feed My Starving Children, OASBO, which is the organization that I belong to. A lot of the treasurers through the state belong to that. For 4 years now, that's been it's not Feed Our Starving Children, but it's Feed the Children. And we all volunteer at the food banks. We do that once a year. And then everything that we do in the conference that I go to in April is geared towards feeding hungry children. We have a silent auction, and all the proceeds go for that, for area food banks or to schools to help children who are in poverty levels. So it's really nice to see it come here too. I know our church in Bath has done the same thing. It's the same group with the feeding the meals. I think we made 1,500,000 meals. Yes, so it is absolutely incredible. So thank you for going those.
Is that only a food donation if you just don't make money?
Oh, yeah. I
mean, no money.
Is there like going to be X dollars equals X number of meals? Is there?
Yeah, and the breakdown, I think it was $50 will feed a substantial number of children one meal a day. And I mean, I can get that exact figures and I can share that with you.
But I mean,
absolutely, yep.
Mrs. Bennett?
I'm excited that Norton United is doing that. I've done it before in the past, and it's actually fun. Aside from having to wear a hairnet,
yes.
It's actually a fun time, and it's amazing that little packet is what, you know, feeds a child for a day. But I would encourage as many people as possible
to
sign up
for that. They say anywhere from age 5 to, you know, how old.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've got some you'll be standing, some you can be seated. Just a variety of things, and within the packet there's rice and vegetables and soy and, you know, chicken, and then just different things that will go in there.
And actually, correct me if I'm wrong, if you can't come on the 9th, it's also Friday and
yep.
Sunday at Grace, correct?
It's
or Thursday, I'm sorry,
Thursday evening,
Friday
evening, and then we here are hosting the biggest part of that.
Okay.
And it's you know, the dual packing, so we'll have two stations going simultaneously. So you'll see the semi-truck rolling in, helping get everything set up and ready to go.
Yeah, and enough can't be said for Grace Church and all the churches that support the school. So I did want to mention this Friday is the Midnight Madness for the football team, and at 9:15 is the Panther dedication for the sculpture that is, inspired, thank you, by B.J. Rainier, so kindergarten teacher Tracy Rainier's son. So that's at 9:15 at the stadium. And congratulations to Jeanette and Heather. Welcome to the district.
Mr. Knight.
Congratulations to Jeanette and Heather also. I was going to talk about team concept. And I love the fact that I kept on hearing team, team, team. And I think that's so important. Every time somebody said it, I just kind of felt good inside. So I like that. I like that team concept. So I hope we all can get that feeling of a team concept. I think it's important.
We will.
Good. That's it.
Mr. Yule?
Congratulations and welcome. Norton's a great community and school district, and you'll quickly learn that if you haven't already through our administration. So, looking forward to August 22nd, kind of Jake, the kids coming back to school. I have personal reasons why, but also it starts the recognition of our students and you know, watching our students achieve great things, both academically and athletically, and that's exciting. That means sports are starting back up, kids are achieving good things, so looking forward to that. Beyond that, the levy. We approved to put the levy on. It's so important that, you know, all the good things that our district does. We talk about, you know, feeding children, all of our kids that excel academically and athletically, and you know, the things that our people do behind the scenes and the people that we partner with is great. And I hope that our community and employees and parents can step up and really make this levy go in November. It's very, very important, and I look forward to working with the group and getting this thing passed. We gotta go ahead, you know, full steam, and we need an army, and we need to share the good things that we're doing, and I'm looking forward to that. I know it's a tough time, and a lot of people in different areas put in more time than others and some, you know, less, but every time that is committed is important. And I really look forward to it because I think we're heading in the right direction. We got a lot of good things going, and I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully we'll get the community behind us and a good army going, and we'll be good. So I'm looking forward to that, and thanks, Matt, for coming and explaining the field house. I mean, it was a big issue last meeting, so hopefully we'll get some things cleared up and get moving with that project, because that's exciting too. I want our kids to be able to utilize that and get that building up and motor on.
We need the army, but we got the right general, so I think we'll be okay. Mrs. Webble?
Congratulations to the teachers. One of the teachers that's not here is Amanda Rutherford, and she's an Norton graduate and knows her well, so I'm excited for her. I know this is kind of weird, but congratulations to the girls' bowling team. I was reading in the Barberton Herald how great they did. Cute picture of all the girls. It was really cute. Kind of looked like a Charlie's Angel type setup. To feed my starving children, we need about 1,000 volunteers for that.
1,500.
Oh, it's 1,500. It went up. Okay, 1,500 people. But something interesting, our church is the one that has been doing blessings in a backpack, and this will be our fourth year. And we serve 100 kids a week that we send food home with. But I went to a meeting at the food bank, and in the 8-county area that the Akron-Canton Food Bank services, there are 9,000 kids in these types of programs. So the need is huge. I was blown away by that number. So it's a great thing we're doing. I'm glad Grace has, you know, invited us to come along and, you know, kind of piggyback on that. So yeah, get online and sign up. I already did. So. You can sign up for any time slot or any day that you want to. So, but it, now the 1,500 is over the 3-day period of time, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know how many on Saturday we need? Or?
He did not give me an exact amount yet. He hasn't looked to see exactly how many.
I think it's on the sign up.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. I think it's on there.
Okay. I'm just curious how many, you know, out of that, because I know there were a couple hundred each day, but then Saturday was the big day.
Saturday.
I'm excited that our school is participating in that. That's what we need to be doing, taking care of kids and many aspects of their life. So that's it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Romer, for coming. It's good to see that the county comes to each local jurisdiction and represents us, as you can see that we have a result from that. So I appreciate you coming in with everything that's been covered today. I'm looking forward to Mr. Addis sitting up here at the next meeting and leading us. So I look forward to that, and I appreciate everybody's efforts. So with that, can I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you for coming.